listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolling.
And this is State of the Arts.
Oh, as always, brought to you by Breakdown Services, our presenting sponsor. Delighted to have them aboard. Michael, tell them all about Breakdown Services,
well,
if you would.
We love Breakdown Services. It's a global communications network and casting system that provides the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And they're all over the world.
Yes, and we're very happy to have them, and we're very happy to have our in-studio guests today, which we are joined today by the lovely and talented Marcia Wallace, who we're just very, very delighted to have for a number of reasons. Her most recently, she is performing, or currently, actually, she's performing as the Wicked Stepmother in, at Cabrillo Music Theater in Cinderella. Very excited
out
about that.
Out there in Thousand Oaks, yes.
And another cast member, and Derek, forgive me on the name, I think I have it, Derek Plena, is that correct?
Yes.
See, you like how I did that?
Yeah,
I'm good at this. Well, I'm
a professional, Derek.
I'm Italian, so I'm used to bad pronunciations of my own name. So, but and Derek is playing the prince. Derek also, if I remember correctly, he headlined at your club.
He will be headlining at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitellus in Studio City. How's that for a
what
plug?
A, you know, yeah. The way you work those plugs in,
smooth.
You're a master.
I sail in there, don't I?
You are a master.
Now, Derek actually is doing that headlining engagement because of him placing in our top five finalists in our annual LA's Next Great Stage Star Theater competition.
And where did that take place, Michael?
At Sterling's Upstairs at Vitellos in Studio City.
What are the odds?
Yeah. Yeah,
what are the
odds of that?
So how was your week, anyway?
My week was good, Paul. I mean, it was a busy week. You know, we're getting ready to move from one house to another, so that preoccupies everything we're doing.
Right.
But, yeah, good. I mean, all the business is good. What about yours?
Mine was good. We're a little manic. I have a theater company, Seaglass Theater, and we're having our auditions. We're doing a wonderful parody of John Steinbeck called Of Grapes and Nuts. It's a great spoof of Grapes of Wrath and Of Mice and Men, and we've been having auditions this week. And oh, it is. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's actually the 20th.
It is a comedy, I presume.
Yes, it is.
As much hopefully.
As, yeah,
hopefully, yeah.
One of the reviews, actually, the first time we did it, it was 20 years ago, we did it in Chicago, and one of the reviewers said the production has the only thing that Steinbeck lacked, which was a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But no, we've been working on that. I talked to my sister recently.
Oh, you she's, did? I love your sister.
She's a big fan of the show. She's probably listening in Connecticut right now.
Hopefully,
so she's,
yeah.
Hopefully. She's an esthetician, my sister.
An esthetician. Now,
yes.
For people that don't know what that is, perhaps you should explain. It's not a mortician. It's
no.
An esthetician. So what would that be?
It's still working on bodies, though. But the, uh-huh. The estheticians work on ones that are alive.
Uh-huh.
Waxing and, you know, eyebrow services and,
waxing.
You know, facials.
So a bikini wax, that kind of thing? And
for those that choose to go to the nether regions, yes.
I see.
I've never actually. Have you ever had anything waxed on your body?
You should ask.
Michael just physically flinched. I think I should have just said
and I flinched right along with you.
So that makes two of us.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a young strapping lad like Derek, I was working at the...
Derek, don't you love being used as a waxing reference?
Yeah. It doesn't happen too often. Only on this show, Derek. Don't forget it. No, I used to go to the gym and work out, and I would look at the other fellas that were working out, and they were all very smooth, and I figured it out. They were all getting waxed, and I thought I had to do that, so I did that.
Yeah. Okay.
Went and got waxed, and it was the most painful experience of my life.
Yeah,
I think someone said it's comparable to having a baby. That you jump,
oh,
and to feel that, you take your upper lip and pull it over your head.
Carol Burnett said that didn't it? Was that a Carol Burnett line? Isn't
I,
it?
Perhaps. I
that was
know.
The funniest scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin. Remember
oh yes.
Yeah. Good Lord,
that. But Alec Baldwin has done pretty well with all his hair.
Alec Baldwin?
Oh, he's very hairy.
Is he?
Yeah, well, I don't know from personal experience.
Is he?
But I've heard him talk about it.
Is he like Robin Williams hairy?
Oh, yeah.
Because
really?
Robin Williams looked like he just learned to walk erect this morning. He has that sort of.
I think Alec gave him a run for his.
Well, I tell you, it's funny that you say that because I'm follically, well, not follically challenged, follically gifted, I should say, being of Italian descent. And, you know, when my wife and I were at the beach. And she was putting sunblock on my back. And she said, you know, Paul, putting sunblock on you is like trying to get peanut butter out of a shag carpet.
Oh, no.
It's like,
how romantic.
It's magical, isn't it? It's magical.
It's magic between the two of
us. So that was when I decided to go and get it done. Did it once.
And that's
back
it,
waxing
right?
once, and it was it is. It's a busman's tour of hell.
It is. But so how do you control it then now?
What I do now is, well, I just cornrow it, like Bo Derek's head in right. 10. I put the little beads in it.
Which
and
must,
it's nice, because you know how cab drivers have
right.
those beaded,
the
beaded
massage,
seat covers?
Yeah.
I carry it with me, and I'm always comfortable driving.
Well, there you go. There you go. Probably saves him a fortune, right?
Let's talk.
Well, what I love is Michael says, come on out, we'll talk about the theater.
Well, let's get to that, shall we?
You just wander off a little topic-wise.
You know, but that's a good point. Let's get to the theater, and let's especially get to this production at Cabrillo Music Theater. Michael, you saw
it. Well, I certainly did. I saw it on Saturday evening, this past Saturday evening, and which was the day after the official opening of it. And not only does it star this beautiful woman, Marcia Wallace, but also Sally Struthers, who we recently had on the show, as you know.
Yes.
Derek Klena as the Prince, Prince Charming, mm-hmm. every young girl's dream, and the beautiful Melissa Mitchell, who stars as Cinderella, out at Cabrillo Music Theater. And their production, which is stunning on the stage there at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza in the Fred Cavalli Theater, a beautiful 1,800-seat theater in Thousand Oaks. And it's, you know, for me, when I was sitting there the other night, it just took me right back to my childhood. You know,
it's fun.
I mean, it's been
magic.
That long. And the story that we all know, and I think that perhaps as we become older, as we become adults, we take it for granted that that story exists. But when you're sitting in the theater, because I've never seen it on the stage. Never on the stage.
A lot of people I don't think have.
Yeah.
I saw the television productions with Julie Andrews and Leslie Ann Warren, and the more recent one with Brandy playing is it Brandy?
Yes,
pop star playing Cinderella. And they were all wonderful. They were terrific.
Aren't you amazed it's never been, nobody ever did a Broadway show out of it?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I was saying
that to Michael. I didn't know there was a production, and I certainly didn't know there was a musical, because I was, oh, it's going at the way, the Cabrillo Music Theater, it's a musical.
Rodgers and Hammerstein.
And Kim Muller, also Kimberly Van Leeuwen from Seaglass, she saw it. She brought a bunch of people this past weekend.
She brought James Denton's children.
Yeah,
she
brought a number of kids.
And I think Derek met them.
Yeah, I did get a chance to meet them. They're really nice.
And they were saying, too, that it was really fun for the kids to be able to see a princess and a prince out of costume, because they sort of put it together and they could sort of see, oh, okay, so they performed, and the kids got to see both sides of it, which is something the kids don't get normally. If they only see the stage play, you know, you leave thinking that, you know, they go get coffee dressed like that, you know.
That's true.
But, we actually do.
No, do you?
It's come to that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's seeing it in that environment and the beautiful sets and the beautiful scenery and the costumes and your amazing cast. I mean, the entire ensemble is so talented. And then getting to see you do a role like that, Marcia.
I know and hear my fabulous voice, which I'm known for.
Which
far
known
and wide.
For.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
I throw back my head and laugh. But I'm musical. That's what I say am, and that's good enough.
That's all that it takes.
I have the...
I have the gift.
I'm certainly right for this part.
Indeed, you are.
Just ask my son. But and my two girls.
Dana Shaw
Dana
is a friend of mine, and what a hilarious performance.
And
Anne was terrific.
My two girls are just wonderful, aren't they, Derek? Aren't they just great?
Yeah,
great.
Kimberly commented on that too.
And
she
we're
said, oh,
like a unit, you know, team stepmother.
Right.
We really are. So I just love them and. I'm having a great time. Wig notwithstanding, once I get out of the dress and the wig, when little kids come back, they're all over Derek and Melissa. I think they think I'm there to clean up. And somebody says, and this is the wicked stepmother. Yeah, sure.
The lady.
Unless you get your Simpsons fans. And
well, and you've got plenty of those, including two sitting right here.
Oh, but the little kids.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, interestingly enough. Now, do you, being the comedic actress that you are, and you're a funny lady in life as well.
Thank you, Michael.
Do you? No, seriously. You know, we've known each other forever.
Forever.
You're the best. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the first musical that I ever saw Marcia do, Paul, first musical I ever saw Marcia Wallace do was Gypsy.
Yeah, well, that.
Playing one of the strippers.
I was, Tessie Turner, the Texas.
That's right.
Yeah.
Down in Long Beach.
Yeah. And that's where I met the man of my dreams, my fabulous Dennis.
Dennis.
I got lucky in Long Beach, and it was a magical time. And Joanne Worley, who is hands down, in my opinion, the best Mama Rose you'll ever see.
Really?
She's terrific.
I mean, I think she's spectacular.
Wow.
And I hadn't done a musical in... When I turned 40, I decided I wanted to sing on stage and get paid for it. Never mind people had stood in droves to beg me not to sing. I had an obscene phone caller that used to call, and I tried everything. I slammed the phone down, and I blew a whistle, and I talked dirty. And one day I burst into two choruses of people who say we're in love, and he never called back. So I just... But I was determined. I studied with David Craig.
Yes.
And I got cast, and then I've done very few, but that was a wonderful time. And then my sweet hubby, we were married before he passed away, but anyway, it was a magical time.
He was such a great man.
Wasn't he great,
great
Michael?
Great man.
Wasn't he great?
He was one of those classy men.
Yeah.
That, you know what, and this is what I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you met each other in the elevator of the hotel.
Yes.
And he was the general manager.
He's the general manager. Get those guys in hospitality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, they're plumping your pillows. They're giving you mints.
And it was truly love at first sight, was it,
well,
not?
Well, it kind of was.
Yeah.
Yep.
It kind of was, yeah.
Marcia, I want you to talk about the book, because you mentioned your husband.
Oh, and I'm a book whore. Funny you should mention that.
And
I've got it in my trunk.
And I saw your website, and there's so many, you know, obviously there's so much about your husband.
Hey,
we all are. Aren't we all, though? Aren't we all? But the book, first of all, your website is...
MarciaWallace.com, Marcia oddly enough.
Go figure that.
Go
what
figure.
A concept.
That's not
going
to confuse people, is it?
I speak as a breast cancer awareness advocate.
There was so much in the book.
It sounds just like me, for better or worse. And it's called Don't Look Back, We're Not Going That Way, which my father used to say, which is pretty profound.
Yeah.
But he also used to say, if I don't see you again, the mule is yours. So not everything he said was deep. But I got that. That book turned out to be. And then when I go out and give speeches, which I do around the country.
Right. So you're 14 years a survivor.
Oh, no, 25.
Oh, 25?
25.
Since
1985,
wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it's really, you know, it's about a 12-minute movie of the week. I caught it early. I never got sick and never came back. But that's plenty exciting for the 200,000 women and some men who are going to get this cancer. And if you take responsibility for your own breast health, mammograms and breast self exams and doctor exams, and listen to your own body talking to you, it's beatable. So
that's so terrific that you're doing that and helping other people. I have a client of 26 years by the name of Scott Hamilton.
Oh, God, yes.
And Scott battled testicular cancer.
He had a recurrence.
Well, he had a brain tumor in 2004. That was a whole separate issue.
Oh, a separate cancer.
It was benign.
Yeah.
It was benign. And then it came back about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he just went into Boston a month ago and had it
taken
out again.
It's nothing any of us say, oh, gee, I hope I get cancer. But there's no question when somebody gets some press. I mean, remember Betty Ford. Betty Ford was the first person to say, A, the word breast. I got breast cancer.
Right.
And it saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Because women went out and got their first mammogram, and I'm sure with Scott, and even with me on some smaller scale.
I used to work for Jenny Jones in Chicago. I used to do the warm-up for the studio audience for Jenny. And lovely woman. And one of the things that she has done with the money from, you know, doing a talk show, is she has bought, I believe, a number of the mammogram vans that go into the lower-income neighborhoods and offer these free mammograms.
The mortality rates drop, but not by enough, and not in rural areas.
Right.
Not in poorer areas.
Yeah.
So. Good for her.
Yeah, no, it's
good
a great thing.
Her.
Great thing she does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bravo, Jenny.
What I was going to ask you before we got into that was, being the comedian that you are, and people knowing that side of you, and you're in a production like this, which is completely scripted, do you get spontaneous? Do you go away from the script a little every once in a while?
I'm not in Sally Struthers' territory.
Derek just smiled knowingly, though. So
Sally's
I think that
part is, I mean, mine is much more structured. I can't really start doing backflips.
Oh, my God.
As she did the other day.
As she did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would
quite
never
the
have
acrobat.
I wouldn't. I'd still be laying on that stage. She just all of a sudden, and she is wildly creative. So her part is much more conducive. But I've worked in a few things.
Yes.
I've worked in a few lines and a few
here and there.
I love this.
Business.
That is low. I couldn't see that on the radio.
Yeah, Michael, what was that? Describe what you're doing.
Putting the hand in front of the face to change the expression on the face.
Oh, okay.
Marcia does his
compose
brilliant.
Your face.
Yes. Compose your face.
Compose your face. Brilliant little moment in the show.
But you've got to, you know, you've got to kind of stay in the period.
Yeah.
Although Sally sang Old Man River the other night, so.
Oh, it sounds a little.
I don't know that it was all.
It sounds a little bit like a panto, like a British panto.
It has a touch of panto.
Yeah,
doesn't it,
a little bit of anachronisms and, you know.
Well, audiences love her. They eat her with a spoon.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm.
And I've known her for almost 40 years, and we've never worked together.
Wow.
Boy, am I fighting for my life out there.
Oh, but that's right, because you were both in the... I mean, you're both on television at exactly the same time. Was it Newhart the same time as All in the Family? Or predates All in the Family, doesn't it?
No, it was part of that Saturday Night lineup.
It was. So
before,
71?
Before Derek was born. But every time he tells me how old he is, I say, bite me. What are you going to be this week, Derek? How old are you going to be?
October 3rd, I'll be 19.
Bite me.
That was Mrs. Krabappel saying,
yes,
bite me. Just for those Simpsons fans out there, take that sound bite, if you would. But let's talk to Derek, too.
Let's talk to Derek Lenna. Hear the prince charming that he is. And, Derek, now, from your point of view, what's it like working with Marcia Wallace?
First of all, Derek, bite me. Okay, but go on.
No, I mean, it's a blast working with Marcia and Sally. I mean, when they came into the rehearsal process, none of us really knew what to expect. And I was just working with Melissa, like, on our scenes, and then Lewis was like, okay, and now this next week we're going to get Sally and Marcia into here, and Team Stepmother, and Team Godmother, and we have Team Royalty also. But they're hilarious. And first day in, Sally comes up, and she's like, I think we should change this whole section.
Yep.
I think we should. It shouldn't come so easy that her name's Harold the Herald, so we end up having like a little
That's an
shindig.
Improv.
Yes. I figured it was.
The Herald.
Well, it's written, but it was originally... You know, it came out of an improv.
Right, right. It's Del Close.
It's who's on first.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's terribly funny. And
it is, and Marcia's hilarious.
And you have the pleasure of working with a friend of yours, Melissa Mitchell, mm-hmm. who's been a friend of yours since you were a child.
That's right. Melissa actually did Annie with my sister, along with her sister, at Candlelight Pavilion. And
right.
then it just so happened, like, our families bumped into each other, and we got to know each other more and more, and done shows throughout the years with each other.
Didn't you go to the prom together? Or was it dance?
Actually, I went to two homecomings with her.
Happily, you can't see blushing on the radio.
You can't write that stuff. Is that for you? The Prince and Cinderella.
Exactly.
Went to dances in the past.
Why isn't she here today? That's the thing. Why isn't she
that we can only fit so many people in the studio, but it was my hope that we could have her.
Well, Michael, you mentioned that the show has phenomenal special effects, right?
Amazing.
Okay,
especially the scene when she's hoping for the pumpkin to turn into a carriage and the mice to become the footmen and all these brilliant special effects that are done for this show.
Wouldn't it be nice through the special effects of internet radio if there was some way to get Melissa Mitchell here in the studio with us?
Is it possible?
I don't know. Let's all collectively
impossible.
Hope, shall we? Melissa?
Yes.
Ah, here she is there. Hello, Melissa. Welcome to State of the Arts on LA Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for magically bringing me on.
Melissa Mitchell, thank you for taking the time to do this. We miss you up here in Los Angeles. I know you're down there with your family in Orange County.
Now, Melissa, now that we have you on the phone and you are not in the studio with us, you are free to be brave and tell us all the backstage gossip about your two co-stars here. What do you got?
She loves us.
Oh, excellent.
She loves us.
I absolutely love Marcia and Derek. One of the things in the show, I love working with Marcia. It's so much fun. But unfortunately, I have to be so upset every time I'm on stage with Marsha because she is my wicked stepmother. And it's so hard because I just want to smile because she's hilarious. And so it took me a lot of work to learn how to stay in character and not break being on stage with Marsha Wallace. And I absolutely love Marsha. She's an incredibly down-to-earth, wonderfully grounded person and so great to talk to. And Derek... Well, what can I say? We've been friends since we were kids, and I just absolutely adore Derek. He's incredibly talented, and we've had so much fun from dinner breaks to long, long days of rehearsals and waltzing at midnight. It's been so much fun.
Literally waltzing at midnight during rehearsals.
Melissa, well, yeah.
I must say, Melissa, and who is also Marsha, one of our
LA's Next Great Stage Star
contestants from the year before, one of the top contestants, that really the combination of this cast and
it's good, huh?
And Derek and Melissa,
and don't forget Christina and Norman.
Oh yes, right, absolutely, Norman Large and Christina.
Saffron. I mean,
yes,
they are
as the king
voices.
And the queen. Beautiful.
Their voices
beautiful.
Are unreal. Yeah.
Beautiful, but when these young people are on that stage and they are closing that first act with that gorgeous number, looking as gorgeous as
they do.
it just sums
magic.
Up.
It's magic.
It is.
And you know, especially so at a time where there's so few family offerings out there, there's so few things you could just bring the whole family to, not have to worry about anything. You know that you're going to be entertained, and it's going to be a thing that's appropriate for everyone. And it's really, you know, with all the dreck that's on television and a lot of the reality junk that there is, what a nice option to have. Take people out. Take them to the show. Take them to see live theater.
Absolutely. And I think on Saturday afternoon, actually, you had a performance, a matinee performance, where you had, was it blind children in the audience?
It was a group for the blind that came to see the show. And Melissa and I and Sally actually went out before the show and greeted all the little kids. And they were all in a meeting room, and we took pictures with them. And I think it really made their day. Like, we keep getting more and more kids coming to the show. That moment for us was really, like, memorable, and it was cool that even though they couldn't see what was going on, like, there's so much, like, special effects and, you know, Marsha's voice and Sally's voice out there. I mean, it's just a lot of fun for the whole family, and I think really enjoyed it.
And that's your hardest audience. If you're appealing to kids, then you know you have a good show, because they don't fake it.
And I think that might be part of Cabrillo Music Theater's outreach program. Am I correct?
It is, because, listen, if we keep this up, it's going to be, well, frankly, white people over 50 are going to be the only people who go to the theater, really.
Yeah. Yes.
There's
exactly.
No diversity.
Yeah.
Nobody's reaching out to kids and multicultural, and it really is. It's the same audience, and when we tie out, who's going to go to the theater?
That's one of the reasons that I loved, Michael and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, one of the reasons we loved In the Heights, because we're watching the show, and there's an 80-year-old man to my left, and there's a 16-year-old girl to my right, and they're both, like, practically singing along, and it's so heartwarming to see. It really is.
And
really
very is. Unusual, so that's got to happen.
Yeah.
You got to give it to this theater, man. They really reach out to it.
Well, let's give it to this theater, and let's tell people how they can get
tickets,
too.
And so please, folks, listen to what we just said here. Family entertainment doesn't come away your way that often, and it is out there at Cabrillo Music Theater. And for tickets, which are on sale now, purchase them at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza box office or through any Ticketmaster location. And for ticket and theater information, call 805 area code 449-ARTS, A-R-T-S. That's 805 area code 449-2787.
And that is only through, the show is only running through Sunday, this coming Sunday.
August 1st.
And it's Thursdays through Saturdays at 8, Saturdays and Sundays at 2, so be sure to catch that in the limited time. Thank you both for coming.
Yeah.
Actually, all three. Melissa, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Melissa, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We wish you...
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We hope to see you in a new project soon, and hopefully that'll be something, I don't know, like Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat out at Riverside. You and Derek.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah? And, all right.
And we're going to go into our arts calendar shortly, and then we're going to have Megan McNulty, who's doing a production of The Baby Dance, which we're going to talk to her after our arts calendar. And Marcia, you're more than willing to stay. If you'd like to stay through the hour, you don't have to. I know you have a big drive ahead of you.
I do have a drive.
So, but thank you so much for joining us.
That's okay. And I enjoyed it enormously.
Oh, so glad. So glad. So let's do our arts calendar, and then we'll bring Megan McNulty in next to talk about her production of The Baby Dance, which we're really looking forward to.
All right.
So I will kick off the arts calendar, Michael, if that's okay with you. Beginning with enjoy an evening of youth in harmony with the South End Boys and Girls Choir from South End on Sea, Essex, United Kingdom, along with their fans Pacific Coast Harmony, a men's barbershop chorus. These choirs have performed at some of the most prestigious venues in the world, including London's Royal Albert Hall, St. Mark's in Venice, the Barcelona and Milan Cathedrals, and the Sydney Opera House. Don't miss this free or by donation concert tomorrow, Tuesday, July 27th, for one night only at the Christ Lutheran Church in Pacific Beach, California.
And speaking of tomorrow, Paul, American Idol phenom Adam Lambert brings his first ever headlining U.S. tour to the Orange County Fair and Pacific Amphitheater July 27th and 28th in Costa Mesa, California. The Glam Tour, as it is called, promises an audio and visual spectacular, both theatrical and atmospheric, that will give the spectacular singers, fans, something they'll love to listen to and look at.
Beyond, the multicultural world-class production in which French cabaret meets the mystery of Cirque, is in its final week of performances at North Hollywood's historic El Portal Theater, one of our favorite theaters in town. This sexy, glitzy show will excite and arouse the senses with international dance from ballroom to Bollywood and an extraordinary cast of 17, including such specialty acts as a female contortionist, hand-balancing acrobat artist, and the superb high-flying aerialist and star of Beyond, Aurelien Roulin. Don't miss it now through August 1st.
And you know, we reviewed that show recently, Paul. It is truly fantastic.
No, I know. It was a pleasure to talk to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting great reviews.
Now playing at the Old Globe Theater in San Diego through August 22nd is Robin and the Seven Hoods, a world premiere Broadway-bound musical comedy featuring classic songs by Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen. Take us back to that sexy era in pop culture where Mad Men reigned supreme, martinis flowed freely, and Sinatra and Martin ruled the night.
Purchase your tickets early for the 2010-2011 season of San Francisco's Distinguished American Conservatory Theater, opening September 16th with two-time Tony Award winner Bill Irwin when he returns to the Bay Area in Molière's chaotic classic Scapin. I hope I'm saying that right. I always think Scapino because I'm Italian. Irwin uses commedia dell'arte, live music, and his trademark sophisticated clowning to turn this 17th century farce of mistaken identities and mishaps into a sparkling theatrical event. Perfect for all ages.
And from Broadway's Rock of Ages to Promises, Promises, The Addams Family to Memphis, from Harry Connick Jr. in concert to David Mamet's Race, and the upcoming openings of such shows as Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, The Importance of Being Earnest, The Pee Wee Herman Show, and You Can't Take It With You, visit BroadwayWorld.com for the latest, most up-to-date listings on The Great White Way.
And for all of these things that we mention in our arts calendar, be sure to visit our website, which is stateoftheartsla.com. That's stateoftheartsla.com, and you can read more about these shows, as well as click on links to their individual websites through our website here on LA Talk Radio State of the Arts. And we are now joined by the lovely and talented Megan McNulty, who is doing a production in town called The Baby Dance. Megan, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Hello,
for
Megan.
Me. Hi.
Now, Megan, I saw this show last week, and I truly enjoyed it. And
thank you.
One of the things that I liked about it, Michael and I were talking before the show, and that is that I like theater that has the seeds and the stems still in it.
And this does.
And this was born of a class. Now, tell people about the origin and how the production came about.
Sure. It's really a special project because it came out of class. I study at Warner Laughlin Studios with Warner Laughlin. She's amazing. And, you know, we did some scenes from The Baby Dance by Jane Anderson back in February. And Warner said, you know, these are really great roles for you. You guys should do this. And we kind of went back to our seats, you know, and did that thing of like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. Did a scene the next week. And then I kind of turned to my classmates and I said, why don't we? And here we are months later, and it's just happened. It all just came to be. We got producers on board, old friends of mine, three Broadway actors turned writer-producers. And it's just happened, and it's been really, really amazing. We're sold out tonight. We only have three shows left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. It's just tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's one of those stories you hear, and you're like, oh, how did that happen? And I just can't believe it did, and here we are, and it's almost over.
You know, Megan, we had last week, we had a lovely actress by the name of Linda Pearl
yes.
on the program who originated one of the roles in The Baby Dance, right?
She did. She originated the role of Wanda, which is the other role I play, Rachel. And actually, my husband, Stuart Ambrose, has worked with Linda Pearl.
Fantastic.
Over at the Getty Villa, so small world.
Stuart Ambrose, as talented as they come, huh?
My gigantic husband. You all can't see me, but I'm 4'11", and he's 6'4".
We yes. were actually talking about that we have you are the only couple that we know that have a bigger height differential than Monica and I.
This
because
is
really?
Monica's 5 feet, and I'm 6'2", and Megan is 4'11".
And a Stuart, half.
4'11 and a half. And Stuart is 6'4".
6'4".
Yeah.
There's a double date in that somewhere.
So, yeah, oh, that there's a visual, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Monica and I forget. You know, we forget about our height difference, and then we see photos.
We
and
totally
it,
do,
yeah.
too. And I forget, and people stare at us all the time. And I'll say, Stu, we must look good today. And he's like, no, Megan, they think I'm a pedophile.
Well, oh, that's a story I have to tell. Monica and I were driving up to... We'll get back to the baby dance in a minute. But Monica and I were heading up to San Francisco. We were driving up the 5, and there's Harris Ranch, which is a truck stop, and it's a ranch, and they have all this cattle. And let's just say that most of the people who were... You know, it's a truck stop, so there's a lot of... Let's just say there's a lot of men there whose wallets are chained to them.
Uh-huh.
Let's just say that.
Okay.
You know, that sort of look. And Monica and I had argued about something in the car. We were joking about something, and we were not really arguing, but you know, there was something going on. We were a little irritated with each other. And we go into this truck stop, and we're in the middle of this place, and I'm surrounded by these guys, you know, and Monica turns to me and says, Mister, leave me alone. I'm only 15. I'm like, Monica, I'm going to be picking up my teeth like Chiclets while you explain to these. I'm just kidding. No, he's actually my husband. But
so
no,
funny.
We forget, and then we see photos of ourselves.
And our wedding album is absurd. We look ridiculous.
It's like Megan and her pet giraffe.
Yep, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The tall ladies hate me because I took their one tall man away.
Yeah, no. Monica gets that too. So so the other people in the production that we I enjoyed Michael's work very well. I loved it's a difficult play to stage because it's the author who has written for television and film.
Yeah, she's written for Mad Men, The Wonder Years,
yeah.
The films It Could Happen to You and How to Make an American Quilt.
And it's a tough stage thing to present. I'm could phrase that a lot better. But there's two, you know, the first act is basically it's not just the two of you, but it's really the two women.
It really is meeting for the first
right.
time.
Right. And then you have the second act where you introduce two characters that you meet for the first time, which are the husband,
and
the attorney. And the structure of it is such that it's really, you know, it's difficult to embrace and then the characters that you meet in act one, You meet up with them, and your character comes back significantly
right.
in Act Two. But the other actress, give me the character's name of the other.
Hayden Wyatt plays
yes,
Wanda.
Yes, and we see her again in Act Two. But it's very the structure of it is very fragmented. So the way that you guys make it work and how well it flows, it's really very
oh,
very well
thank
executed.
You.
Yeah.
And for people that have never seen this show before,
yes.
I mean it's basically about parenting.
It's about parenting. I'll give you the quick little.
Give us a synopsis. Yes.
So basically, you have two couples. You have an educated, successful, you know, power couple
right.
from LA, and we didn't update the piece. It came out 19 years ago, 91. So we kept it in that time period.
Oh, it is that.
Yes.
Long ago.
So you have this wealthy couple from LA. I play Rachel, and my husband Richard, played by Michael Cotter, and we cannot have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put an ad out, and a lower class couple from a trailer park in Louisiana
mm-hmm.
Answers the ad. And that's Wanda, played by Hayden Wyatt, and her husband Al, played by James Patrick Moran. So as Paul was saying, in Act 1, I show up at the trailer park to meet Wanda for the first time. She's about 6 months pregnant at that point.
Wow.
And that's pretty much Act 1. So it's really these two completely different worlds colliding.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in Act Two, when the baby's born, without giving away what happens, there's, you know, some difficulties, and it's just a really moving, touching piece. I also have my master's in special education, so the play speaks to me in that way as well. And it's really relevant today. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of people that have come up to me after and just say, you know, difficulties that they've had trying to have kids, and it's just so relevant, and it's things that people don't want to talk about, but they really relate to it sitting out there.
Yeah.
It's been really special.
And you mentioned the two, not telling too much about Act Two, but one of the things that that I really respected, with the two gentlemen who come in, Michael and the...
Jeff Witzke, who plays Ron, the attorney.
It's really, it's pulled off very well, because they have these comedic elements in Act Two, and it we should address that too, that there's a lot that is very, very funny in this play. And when they come in Act Two, there is this, you know, the comedy that they present is, it's tight, it's concise, but yet it's still, it's respectful of the act that preceded it. So you really know that, you know, they're aware of the world that they're in, mm-hmm. and it's not like, oh, we're coming back from Act Two, let's get the energy up and be waka waka.
Right.
They present it well, they present it, it's very organic, the humor that is there is very organic, and a lot of it's just born of the tension of the moment, you know, I mean, anyone who's sort of been in anything even remotely approaching that experience has to realize that there is some humor to be found in it, you know. One of the things that I also like, Megan, I'd love for you to comment on this, because
sure,
this is this the storefront theater that we have in L.A., there are these little gems of productions that happen all through the city, this being one of them, these real organic productions. And, you know, when you have a shoestring budget, you don't really have a lot. Because Michael and I have reviewed a number of shows here, and we've reviewed shows at the Amundsen and in this Cabrillo
sure.
Music Theater. They have subscribers and they have followers, and these other small productions do not have that. So to see them just, you know, go to the wall with really committing to these things, the window.
Yes,
the window. I just love the window.
That my character screams at.
Yes, them. Yes. There's a window and on the set. And to call it a window is really giving it as much of the benefit of the doubt. It's the frame of
a
window.
It's a black frame against a black
frame. Yes, it's a black frame with window panes in it that's just stuck on the wall. Let's just call it what it is. It's stuck on the wall. But the beauty of it is that here it is. It's on a wall. It's on a concrete wall. And they have to go over to it, and they have to shout out the window, and they're so committed, and you really believe that. I mean, they're 4 inches away from a wall, but yet they're shouting.
Just envisioning myself there tonight, a couple hours.
And you're just see outside, and you have some. You get to play against type with some nice language there.
Yes, I do. It's fun. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're really doing this for the right reasons. It's a piece we wanted to work on, and we wanted to work with each other, and we wanted to bring these roles to life. It's mm-hmm. all the reasons why you should do a show, and that's what's really been lovely about it.
That's now, the Lounge Theater, which is where this takes
yes.
place, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that theater.
I do, too. You know, I've been to some auditions there, but I've never performed there. It's a great little space.
It is a good space. It's in a different kind of a space, and it has a great vibe to it, a nice energy in the lobby there. So it must be fun doing the show. And this has been a relatively short run, right? You opened
yes.
on the 19th of July.
Yes, we did 3 shows last week and then 3 this week.
So not dissimilar to the 2-week schedule that Cabrillo Theater, Cabrillo Music Theater.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
Well, yeah.
I had never been to the Lounge Theater before, and I went in. Well, and when you say, you know, the energy, the vibe of the place, it's sort of a funky little
yeah,
place.
Yeah, I liked it.
And you walk, yeah, and you walk in, and it's. Did you see something there recently? Rose Bowl Queens.
Yes. Now, that was prior to our...
No, I'm talking about productions, Michael. I don't mean people that you saw on Hollywood Boulevard.
Come on.
Actually,
because you
yes.
could see a lot of Rose Bowl Queens on Hollywood Boulevard,
that's
you know,
true.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be.
And on
play.
Some of the side streets, too. Yeah. No, that was a musical, actually, that was produced there. And a beautiful, a wonderful musical, new musical that it's kind of having a life and it's going on now. And they're getting ready to try and mount it again in Los Angeles
because
it was so successful there.
Well, with any luck, we're having some talk about that because it's. I mean, you know, of course we have our friends and our classmates supporting, but so many people getting on Gold Star saying, oh, I just popped in here, I had a choice, and I came to the baby dance, and I'm so glad I did, and you know, we just did six shows because, like I said, it came out of class. It was that kind of production.
Right.
And it's just kind of been so well received.
And like you said, topical is topical. And are you sold out tonight?
Absolutely sold out, yeah.
So you're sold out tonight, mm-hmm. and there's only two other opportunities to see it. And I understand during the intermission they actually do numbers from Rose Bowl Queens.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Well,
yeah. They just try to keep it light, you know.
How intuitive of me to have brought that up about the lounge.
You really fit that in well, Michael.
Really?
You must have done this before.
Well, so there's a chance then, you're saying, Megan, that it might be extended there, or maybe you're going to remount it somewhere else?
We're hopeful. Of course, one of our actors, Jimmy, is off to step back into Chicago on Broadway, so he'll be there for 6 weeks. Oh, so sad for Jimmy.
Yeah,
so sad. Gotta go to Broadway.
Sure, wish you had those
Stuart
problems.
Could step in.
Stuart could play that role.
Stuart would like to step in. The only problem is that the ceiling in the theater is too small to accommodate.
And he'll be in his uniform. He's playing with the Coast Guard these days.
Oh, and speaking of which, Stuart has a gig coming up,
a fairly impressive one,
I do say so myself.
Thank you, Paul. Colliding the Two Worlds. My husband Stuart is an officer with the Coast Guard. He is a Lieutenant JG, and on Wednesday night, he'll be singing with the Padres. He'll be singing the national anthem.
And singing it, he will be, because he is an amazing singer.
Thank you, he is.
And
he
you
is.
Know, Megan, I've told you, this man needs to be headlining Sterling's upstairs at Studio City.
I know. I'm working on it. Michael.
All right.
He listens to everything I say.
Yes. I got that impression.
Thank God. Somebody listens to their wife.
Yes. So, Megan, tell us a little about yourself and your performance history.
Yeah.
I know you're from Long Island originally.
I was born in Long Island, but I grew up in Jersey.
You grew up in Jersey.
Did you hear how she just said that? Long Island. With a G at the end of the long.
Yeah. No, it's actually not a G at the end of the long. It's a G at the beginning of Guyland. It's Long Island.
Oh, Long Island. Yes. I see.
There you go, Paul. There you go.
Well, you know, I lived in Connecticut. I always try to be more, you know, ballsy and go, well, I'm from New York. No, you're not, Paul. You're from Connecticut. Shut up. Your mother was from the Bronx. That's about as rough as it got.
My dad is from the Bronx. No, I grew up in Jersey. The nice part. If one more person asks me about Jersey Shore, I'm like, guys, that's like Asbury Park. I grew up in Princeton. It's lovely. And I went to...
Do people do the exit joke?
Oh, well, that's the only joke
that's
I get.
That's the only joke you got.
Exit 8A is really my exit, if you want to know.
Oh, really?
Hightstown.
Did you know, I'm sorry, I have to interject one thing. The Jersey Shore, that series, right?
Yeah.
You know that those actors just renegotiated their contract and are each getting $30,000 more?
Okay, don't call them actors. Don't call them actors.
Well, that's what they've become.
Right? Yeah, but that's not what they are.
Sad but true.
Yeah.
I know.
Negotiating.
$30,000
each.
More.
A week. Yeah, more.
Oh,
than
see.
What they were getting.
That is just, that's a special kind of stupid.
Between them and the Real Housewives, we get a really bad rap in Jersey.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's sad.
So, okay, so off the negative stuff of Jersey. Let's talk Springsteen. Let's talk... No, you're...
Bon Jovi.
So you graduated Phi Beta Kappa with your BA with distinction.
In theater and my master's in teaching and special ed.
I went to
UVA, University of Virginia, in Charlottesville. And then I spent 4 years in New York doing a lot of musical theater. I grew up a dancer, a ballet dancer, doing a lot of new plays, new works, and then followed my then boyfriend, now husband, Stuart, out here in 2004 and started working in TV. So.
Oh, that's great.
In 2004, is that what you said?
Yes.
In 2004.
Yeah.
All right.
And I just was on General Hospital opposite James Franco.
That's right.
Not too shabby.
Yeah,
huh?
I was a victim of his. He had a gun to my neck. It was very dramatic.
Okay, so now you have to talk about this, because you said, so we were talking the other night about being on General Hospital, and you said it was something about it being a performance piece, and people didn't know how to read it.
Explain that, because
I'm sure we have General Hospital fans listening.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot of people knew what was going on. I lived it. I experienced it, and I still left that shoot being like, what was that? So James Franco has had this arc on General Hospital as Franco, a performance artist who's a murderer, and he turns his murder victims into art. So this was a big shoot that they had at MoCA, because apparently James is also doing a documentary that he's going to be screening at MoCA. So it was the shoot.
So this is all part of that project.
Yes, it was a big production.
Okay.
But I mean, it was a blast. I got to work with him. He was lovely to work with, and it was fun. So night shoot, and it just aired. So a lot of soap opera fans out there. I didn't realize.
And so now, so what exactly he's holding? I mean, can we give it away? I mean, it's already
aired. Yeah, it's already aired.
So,
Friday.
Okay, so he's holding a gun.
Yeah, basically, I'm supposed to be a Kelly Monaco lookalike, her character of Sam. He kidnapped months ago when he was on the show.
Okay.
To mess with the character of Jason. Sam is Jason's girlfriend.
Okay.
So he's recreating this kidnapping with me because I look like her.
Okay.
So at the beginning, I think it's part of this performance art piece, and I'm all excited. But then in the middle, I realize this is no joke. And then I freak out for real, and I'm asking everyone to help me. Please, God, help me. And all the patrons are thinking, this is such great art. And I'm like, no, help me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
something like that.
Oh, so it's a tough task to be. Okay, you have to be on a soap opera.
Right.
You have to perform, and then you have to be not convincing in the role.
But the funny thing is, my East Coast friends, who saw it 3 hours earlier, of course, are texting me, and they're like, "What? Why are you smiling? You have a gun to your neck." And I'm like, "What? Oh, this isn't playing out right."
I'm smiling because if you're going to be killed by someone, let's be killed by someone who looks like James Franco.
Come on now. It was, yeah.
And
Stuart, I love you, but, you know, he's a nice-looking man.
So now, what can you tell? Is any? I mean, obviously, you don't want to do any backstage gossip about Mr. Franco. It's just
or
a lovely.
Possibly she does.
Or possibly she does.
Yes,
I
she
don't
does.
Know, but we'll leave that up to you.
Hit us with a hot note. Come
no,
on.
Here's my cute little story from the night. It's very funny because he's got the gun to my neck, yet he's stroking my hand in the like in between takes. It was very sweet.
Did you hear that, Stuart?
It was very sweet.
And how tall is he?
Not as tall as Stu. He's pretty tall. I mean, in a lot of the shots, you don't see me because I forget, once again, how short I am until I see myself on TV. I'm like, damn, I'm really short. But, yeah, he's probably 6. I don't know.
Do you actually say that when you see yourself on television? Damn, I'm really short.
I said that the other day. No, I don't know.
Aren't you glad you came here today, Megan?
I'm so glad. It's a blast.
Welcome to LA Talk Radio, where we mock people who are vertically challenged. And then we mock people who are vertically gifted.
After I talk about my play about children with special needs.
Yeah.
That's great, Paul. That's great.
We're going to offend everyone. That's what we're here
for. You've done many, many things. I see in your bio here you've done Showtime's Huff and
yes,
with Hank Azaria.
Great show. Mm-hmm.
You've done Still Standing. I love that show, actually. And other TV credits, How I Met Your Mother alongside Mr. Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes, that was the nicest set to be on, I got to tell you.
Oh, really?
Josh Radner and Neil Patrick Harris were so sweet. And I even, like, I had a little mess up on set, and it was like, nobody cares, because they didn't
know.
What does
that mean, a little mess up?
Well, they kept changing one of my lines on me.
Did you
wet
yourself? What happened?
I'm never coming back here again.
We also mock the incontinent.
No, I...
Say the Arts is brought to you by Depends.
Well, that depends.
No, sorry. I messed up a line, and it was like no big deal. That's what they do all day. And Neil was so sweet. He's like, please, did you hear us? That's why we didn't get to your scene until after lunch. I mean, they just so sweet.
You know, he's directing the production of Rent at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yes,
coming
and actually,
up here in August.
Kathy Deach, who is one of our producers, mm-hmm. Too Much Mustard Productions, producing The Baby Dance, is going to be in that production.
Oh, terrific!
Yes.
And Neil Patrick Harris was a great host when I did a production a couple of years ago that was nominated for an Ovation Award,
mm-hmm.
and he hosted the Ovation Awards, and he's really. He was like cutting his teeth as a host at that performance, and has subsequently hosted like everything since
just
then.
About.
He's a
Emmys,
great
yeah.
host.
He's great.
He's you know he's energetic. He's funny. He's clever. You know, very impressed by his hosting skills because hosting is not as easy as one would think.
I know that's true.
Okay, so for people who want to get tickets to the Baby Dance for the two more opportunities they have, with tonight being sold out, but
right.
Tuesday and Wednesday there are still tickets available. We have 323, the phone number, 323-960-7726. That's 323-960-7726. Tickets are $18, and it's also available at Plays 411.
That's
is that
right.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Plays411.net. Okay, and that's where you can find tickets to The Baby Dance. Megan, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us.
What a treat to have you here. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that can't see this gorgeous woman, she has the most stunning eyes in show business,
sweet.
I think, right? What color?
Know.
Describe that color, because they're so
unusual.
They're
gray. They're blue on my birth certificate, but I swear they change color. Sometimes blue,
they
sometimes
do.
Green.
They're beautiful.
I
You're beautiful.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
She's a lovely. Sweet. She's a lovely woman, and she's also, I should mention too, a member of a phenomenal new theater company in town, Seaglass Theater. She is a company member of that theater company, a company that is close to my heart.
And often frequent Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's.
No, we mentioned Sterling's three times. We have to get at least as many Seaglass mentions as Seaglass Theater. Seaglass Theater. Seaglasstheater.org.
That's right.
Anyway, who do we have coming up, Michael?
We have the phenomenally gifted Broadway performer Danny Bolero, who is currently co-starring in the U.S. national tour of In the Heights, coming up next week.
Okay, so that is the next guest we have on State of the Arts. Megan, do you have anything else you want to say before we sign off?
I'm a member of Seaglass Theater.
Theater.org. And remember, it's the affected spelling, R-E. Theater, not theater. Anyway, thank you. Michael, always a pleasure to be on the radio with you. Thank you, Megan.
And you, Paul, thank you.
And you want to visit us during the week, stateoftheartsla.com, and send us an email at stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.